here in chapter 28, it says, "It came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy man. And David said to Achish, Surely thou shalt know that thy servant can do. And he says that I'll make thee the keeper of mine head forever. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa." Now we have the visit of Saul to the witch of Endor. I'm reading verse 5. "And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets." Now God is not speaking to this man at all. Let's put this down at this particular point. "Then said Saul unto his servants, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and diligently inquire of her. And his servants said to him, Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor." And Endor means ventriloquist. She was a ventriloquist. And I think that she was partly a phony and partly given over to spiritism. Now, let me dwell on this for just a moment. You and I are living in a day of frills and thrills in religion. And one of the avenues which thrill seekers are exploring is modern spiritism or ancient necromancy. And, of course, the strongest argument they have is the witch of Endor. They say, well, she brought up Samuel. And the question is, did Samuel come back from the dead to communicate with Saul? If so, of course, it's the only instance recorded in Scripture. Now, before answering this question, I want you to look at some material that's in the background here that's important for us to see. Scripture positively condemns the practice of necromancy. In Deuteronomy 18, verse 9, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto the observers of times and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do." Now, you and I are living in a day when we find that there is a great deal of practice in this connection. Out in Hollywood, there are two that were listed several years ago in Time magazine. These two necromancers are fortune tellers, and most of the Hollywood stars consulted them according to the article in Time magazine. May I say to you that right now we're seeing a revival of that, and it's been going on a long time. Back in 1947, The Guardian, a publication of the Church of England, had this article. It says, in spite of the large amount of fraud, fake, deceit, and thought reading, conscious or unconscious, that the investigator of psychic research has to contend with, there remains a nucleus of genuine matter that cannot be explained with our present knowledge except by accepting the hypothesis that human personalities exist through death and that certain persons have the power and gift of contacting them. Churches have nothing to fear from genuine psychic phenomena. May I say to you, that is amazing, because since then there has been growing this matter of looking at the stars. There's been growing this so-called science of ESP. And I can't go into a great deal of detail in a study like this, but a great many people today are studying the stars. They go and buy a horoscope, and literally millions of dollars today are being spent. And according to that article that was in Time magazine several years ago, probably the astrologers are taking in several $1 million a year, and that there are some 5,000 full-time astrologers and about 100,000 part-timers who collect an estimated $100 million a year from more than 10 million believers, and most of them are female. That's what the article says. Now, may I say to you that the Word of God absolutely condemns this sort of thing, and God has judged nations in the past because of it. And he even put his own people out of the land from turning from him to these different ones. My friend, this is one of the dangerous practices of the hour. Scripture warns of this practice and predicts that there'd be an outbreak of it, by the way. You find in the account of Lazarus, the beggar and the rich man. The rich man was strictly forbidden to return to the living. He's told he couldn't. Paul was caught up to heaven and silenced. He couldn't even tell what he had seen at all. And listen to what the Word of God says. Matthew 24:24 says, "For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets. They'll show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." And Paul in 2 Thessalonians says, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders." And Paul, writing to a young preacher, says in 1 Timothy 4:1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons." And we have on the West Coast several churches, they call them churches, where they're called Satan churches. They worship Satan, actually. And this is something the Word of God says will increase in the last days. And this is something that this man, Saul, now is going to this witch of Endor.